Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Roswell, 60 years later. Wow. Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and welcome to the UFO Files. And we are at the Civic Center every day between 10 and noon, and we'll be here through Sunday, July 8th. So if you get a chance, come on down to see us. The programs will last on our website forever. So if it's past July 8th when you hear the show, too bad. You missed it. We're having fun, aren't we, Phyllis Galdi?
Hey, I love it. It's great.
This is Phyllis Galdi, and she's publisher of Fate Magazine, and she's a very conservative woman, as you can tell by her hairdo.
Yes, yeah. I am a Norwegian.
And we have an audience here, and we'll be talking to them. If you have any questions, feel free when we give a chance to get out in the studio to ask them. Phyllis, you go to most of these UFO things.
Yes, I try to.
And have you ever found something interesting? I mean, I'm sure you find stories and interesting people just showing up at these conferences. I do.
Every time I come to a conference, I make some wonderful contacts and meet new people. I meet new authors. We also publish UFO-related books. So, yes, every conference, it's just I'm richer because of the friends that I make.
Now, what's the next Fate magazine? You're out now, August issue.
A July issue. We brought the July issue here. And I might mention that there's a free July issue for everyone who comes by our booth. And It's got Roswell Revisited on the cover. So kinds of good stories.
Every time I have Phyllis on, I always try to get a little notice about the next month, and she never tells me. I try all kinds of trick questions. You don't really go to press till the last minute, do you?
Pretty much, right. When I get home next week, we will work literally day and night to get the August issue. And it's interesting because the magazine kind of writes itself. I mean, we have article submissions from people all over the world. And then we have a slush pile that we choose from. And it's like whatever we're supposed to be telling people about, it kind of falls into our lap. So the magazine literally creates itself. It's pretty bizarre. You just have to be
How open. Long have you had Fate magazine?
I've been working on Fate actually since 1989 off and on till 94, and then I quit, started my own publishing company, and then in 1999 I was involved.
Now Fate magazine goes back to when?
40s? 1948. So next year will be the 60th anniversary of Fate magazine.
Are you going to have a big deal like this?
Sure.
And we'll
come to Roswell. Yeah. we'll celebrate Fate out here.
You've always been interested in this, and if they find your picture on our website, which we have a gallery of our guests as well, in addition
Scary.
To the shows. You were telling us about you lived in a haunted house in one of those shows up in Minneapolis or Minnesota, out in the boonies or someplace.
Yes, I grew up in a haunted house. So my first memories of a small child were seeing a ghost in my bedroom standing in the doorway, and I was scared to death. I was just terrified. I would run into my parents' bedroom. They would try to lock me out of their room. You know, it was bad for their married life, I guess. But anyway, then when I was 25, my mother informed me, oh, yeah, your grandfather died in that room. Duh. If they would have told me that, I think I would have been less frightened because I thought the ghost was there to kill me and hurt me. So I was terrified all the time. And then later on that room, we realized it was like a vortex right where that doorway was because other people had experiences there. And we went on to have seances in the old living room right next to it. And I wouldn't say conjured up, but we created a lot of interesting experiences there.
You really feel that ghosts are more or less benign, huh?
Not necessarily, no. Uh-huh. I've had attempted...
See, we'll get into my favorite part.
Oh, dear.
The mean ones.
I had attempted possession several times, too.
Really?
Yes, I guess when you get into this paranormal field, you have more things that come around you. Yet they're attracted to you. Who knows how intelligent they are. But anyway, one time in Colville, Utah, I was on my way back from the Bay Area UFO conferences, and I was driving alone. I lost my pillow at one of the motels, which was another sad story. But anyway, I like to stay
you
in
mean
mom and...
literally you died? Or
I forgot it. I forgot my pillow. You know, it's my security blanket, my Linus security blanket. But I like to stay in mom and pop hotels because they're less expensive, and they just have more personality. Well,
you're in the ghost business, and I saw Psycho.
Yeah, well, I did wind up in a psycho motel.
Uh-huh.
In Colville, Utah. That was
tell me a little bit about that. They didn't have the strange son, did they?
No. Okay. It was a nice, young, good-looking married couple with small children, clean. The office was real clean and nice, so I thought, this is safe. This is a real small town, so I went over to the motel, and it wasn't very fancy, but I grew up on a farm, so I'm used to not fancy. And it was more like hunting lodges or hunting motels for people that did deer hunting up there, I guess. But anyway, it had a separate little bedroom and a little ratty bathroom and a living room with a TV and a couch even there. But anyway, there was wind scratching on the door or on the window in the bedroom, so it took me a while to get to sleep. And I had all the doors locked and feeling comfortable, and woke up all of a sudden. There was a man in my room, and he sat down on the side of the bed, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be raped. I'm going to be killed. This is it. There's no. How did he get in? I had the door locked. I was so scared. I mean, my heart was beating. I was paralyzed. And then he lay down on the bed, and he put his arms around me and spooned up to me.
You could feel him, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
He was real.
Absolutely.
This was a real man.
I could feel it was a man, yes. And I was just absolutely paralyzed. And then after about 10 minutes, it seemed like forever, the energy on the bed just left up. It just lifted up and it disappeared. I get goosebumps talking about it still. Anyway, it was gone. It just
did he whisper sweet nothing?
No.
Nothing.
No, absolutely. I just the presence, the feeling there. So the next morning when I was getting ready to leave, the wife, the good Mormon wife, was cleaning the motel's room out there. And I got a funny question to ask. Anybody ever, see any ghosts around here? And she kind of looked. She laughed. She says, yeah, people say it's haunted. You know, there's the hunters, there's like two or three rooms they wouldn't stay in. So it was kind of
was that one of the rooms they put you in?
No, okay, it was a different. Okay. He just came in. But, yeah, the guys wouldn't even stay in several of the rooms.
Wow.
So there must be a resident male ghost there. But wow. Yeah, I thought I was a goner. I thought I was dead.
Did you ever write that story?
I told a little bit about it, and I see by the papers. And every month I write a little.
Uh-huh. Do you do much writing, or you just do the editing?
I used to write, but now I don't have time. I used to teach school. I used to teach junior and senior high school English. I'm still correcting papers.
Okay.
The articles. That's all I have time for.
Okay, we're going to just stop for a minute. Jane's going to edit this. Anybody have questions for Phyllis Golding? Anybody? Okay. Hold on a minute until I get over there. Jane, we're going to go over there. Hold on a minute. Anybody have a ghost story?
I do.
Well, Paul, you're going to get on in a minute, so I'll save that for you later. What's your name?
Doug Elwell.
Okay, we're rolling here. We're in the audience, and we have some questions for Phyllis Galdi. Your name?
Doug Elwell, publisher of Mysterious World.
And are you a competitor of Phyllis?
Or? No, we're more of a travel magazine. They're way better than we are. But the question is, do you think it was a resident spirit, or was it more of a family spirit? You're pretty sure it was resident in the house?
You mean for my house?
The man that grabbed you and loved you.
For example, succubus, incubus kind of situation.
I had one of those experiences too, and I'm not sure I even want to go there.
I don't want to hear about it. It's very personal, I'm sure, but you're sure certain it was a resident spirit.
You mean the ghost in the house where I grew up, or the motel ghost?
The motel.
Oh, right. The motel ghost was probably a resident ghost there. Just somebody who died, maybe he lived in the area and just was hanging around.
And your own personal home ghost is the same kind of situation?
No, that was my grandfather. I saw him.
That was family.
That was definitely my grandfather, because in seances we did contact him, and we found out that he was there to protect us.
Ah.
It was a very benevolent, caring thing, but we didn't know it when I was a small child. I didn't, but many people had experiences seeing him, so...
Very interesting.
It was very interesting.
In your travel, it's a travel magazine?
It's Mysterious Travel. We handle exotic.
Is it a website
magazines.
Or what?
It's a website, www.mysteriousworld.com.
And do you put a magazine out too, or just the website?
No, just the website.
And Mysterious Travel, you name places like this hotel she was talking about to go to, or what?
We haven't really done haunted stuff. For example, it's a combination of historical and mysterious. For example, on the way here, I came down Route 66. So we can have a series of articles on Route 66 as well as Roswell. So that's part of the reason I came down here. Did kind of a two-for-one.
Route 66, can you tell me a haunted story real quick?
Oh, dear. I don't know. There's probably...
This goes from Chicago through Oklahoma City to Albuquerque to Amarillo. See, I heard this.
It goes all the way to Los Angeles. Right. And I can't think of a haunted story, but there sure is a heck of a lot of really great hotels which might have some ghosts.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Anybody have a ghost experience they want to talk about? You have a question for Phyllis? Okay, we can take that part out, Jane. We want to know that they're clamoring to be on the air. Hold on a minute. This is a do-it-yourself show. I guess you've noticed that. Okay, we're going to wrap it up for you, Phyllis. Phyllis, what's new with your projects? I know you're publishing some more books.
Yes.
What do you have, about 12 or 14 out right now? Something like that. It looks like a big catalog to me.
We have about 100 titles.
Okay, I knew it was big.
And most of them are metaphysical paranormal. That's the fun part. We have some normal straight books, history, biography, children's books, but my true love is the paranormal.
Phyllis, we'll be talking to you. Her booth is right next to ours here at the Civic Center in Roswell. And you've been coming to Roswell off and on for a long time.
Yes, I love it out here.
I know you went down to Carlsbad Caverns one time.
Yes, that was a wonderful experience. We went up to Lincoln, Billy the Kid, and over the Lincoln County Wars. And it was north of here where supposedly Billy the Kid was shot.
And, you know, each time we talk to you, we find out you're interested in a different subject. Let's give Phyllis DeGaulle a big hand. Thanks a lot. This is Jerry Pippin, and we'll be right back. This is the UFO Files from Roswell.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.
Welcome back to the Jerry Pippin Show, and we're at Roswell, and we're at the Civic Center. I thought I'd tell everybody who we brought with us. Roberta Scott is our on-location producer here. Jane Swartley is outside handling our booth. She'll be editing the shows later. What we do is we record them here, then we put the bumper music. That's the music that takes you to the commercials, which is the important part of the show, we all know. And Dr. Rita Louise is in the booth as well, a psychic. And we broadcast here every day, 10 until... Oh, noon, 12:30 today, I think is how late we're going to go. And in addition to that, we're down at the Cover-Up Cafe, which is right down the street from the UFO Museum, and we're there every night between 6 and 9, and we'll be there through Sunday night. Paul Price is with us, and Paul, you live in Roswell, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Paul came to me by recommendation of an investigator friend of mine, Gordon Novell. You may or may not have heard of him. And he says, you need to talk to Paul. And as the conversation goes along, you'll find out why we need to talk to him. He has a relative who has some experience with the original Roswell scene. But, Paul, you're into a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm an author. I've written a scientific paper on... vortex gravity control, and done acting, comedy. And
yeah, right now, you're really interested in this ARV, I guess is what we call them.
The alien reproduction vehicle, yes.
Yeah, and why don't you tell our audience a little bit what we're talking about here?
Okay, let's go back, since we're here in Roswell, let's go back to the first week of July 1947. a purported crash craft crashed up north of Roswell. Depending upon who you've heard it from, it could be 75 miles, or even more recently, admitted by Walter Hout in an affidavit that he wrote before his death, between 30 to 45 miles north of Roswell, there were debris, or they did find debris, and bodies of aliens at that particular point. Now, what the ARV is that they've taken technology not only from the Roswell incident, but also from other crashed saucers that have been collected and put inside the care of the United States government to reverse engineer those using human technology and develop a working system that can actually fly and do some pretty amazing things.
And so is this still just theory, or is somebody actually trying to do this now?
Well, with the evidence I've seen and also discussions I've had with Gordon Novell and with Mark McCandless.
Yes.
This is an actual working system. The original prototype was
now,
built.
Now we're talking about using a different sort of propulsion system, the same thing that the alien vehicles seem to be using in UFO sightings every day that we hear about.
Correct, and what it does is that it kind of warps the field that it creates.
Have they been able to fly anything yet?
Well, I haven't seen any definitive definitive proof, but from the people I've talked to, yes.
So you think this is something that we pretty well figured out how they do it?
I do believe so, and I think after 60 years of experimentation, hey, they should have made a breakthrough somewhere.
Now, you talked about this crash. How many people here have heard about Walter Hout and his new affidavit? He of course, was the officer, the public information officer here at the Roswell Army Air Force Base at the time, released the famous press release that we've all played on the air before and all of the things I talked about. And we've had actually Walter on one of our shows in an interview, and now we're playing little sound bites. He passed away in 2005. He came up with some pretty startling information about this other crash site, and you know, we don't know much about what your father saw, but he was a young boy and he saw this thing, huh?
Well, the strange thing about it was before he before Walter Hout ever even wrote the affidavit that has now been released, my father had told me about 12 years ago during the broadcast of the original Fox special on the alien autopsy photos that he had been out to the impact site. He explained it to me. He says he did not see any aliens out there, but from every indication that he saw, it was the debris site that he went to with my uncle was between 30 to 45 miles northwest of Roswell. It wasn't at the Mac Brazel site at all. And what he saw was two halves of what looked like an egg-shaped craft that impacted against a rock and split apart. There was debris all around the area between 200 to 2,000 yards spreading outward. He had picked up some of that debris, brought it home. Okay. He had picked up some of that debris and brought it home and had the debris there for at least 2 to 2.5 years after the incident occurred. My dad does not know exactly what happened to that debris right now, but his story confirms the new affidavit Walter Hout actually put out, or that was actually put out about a month or two ago, if I'm correct.
Why you lived in Houston for a little while. In fact, didn't you work down at NASA headquarters for a while?
I worked at the Johnson Space Center, and that's an interesting story. I actually worked as a cafeteria worker there. I was a pot washer. I was the lowest of the low. I mean, you can't get a job any lower than washing pots. Well, when I worked out...
Yeah, we used to call it the back sink guy in the Army when you pull KP. You didn't want to do that.
Yeah, but I did that for a living, Jerry.
Okay.
Well, I was working there for about 10 months, and I came up with an idea that I wanted to share with the people in the research and development departments out there. For it was called the Electromagnetic Pulse Reaction Engine. Lo and behold, when I told an engineer about it, I was fired, dismissed from employment, and then watched within 6 months to a year after my termination by FBI officials.
And they did this to just a bottle washer?
Yes, pretty much.
What do you make of all? You've had experience with the secrecy. It seems to be really nonsensical almost at this point, 60 years later.
Well,
there's a lot of things going on, and okay. I guess with this alien vehicle, if it really works, it would change the dynamics of quite a few companies.
Well, when we're talking about the oil companies here, bottom line, you have a device that can pull energy from what is called the vacuum, or even people who are old enough know about ether theory, can pull it from the ether vacuum and transmute that into working energy.
We've done a lot of shows on ARVs and things like that. We have some on the website, so if you want to check that, folks, please do that at jerrypippin.com. Okay, Jay, I'm going to stop it for a minute. Anybody have a question for Paul or a comment about anything he's talked about? Anybody want to talk about Roswell? Okay. Okay, hold on, I got to come back over there. Yeah. Which is no problem. I just want to make it. No, I'm coming around. I follow it. Hey, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Should I help?
I think it's gone under.
Okay. Then I'll take
it. Here, he's going to use yours.
Try it now.
Okay. There. Okay.
Okay. Now I got to tighten this up.
Okay. Sorry about that.
We had it all fixed. There. There we are. We edit these shows, and when you turned around, we put the music in and all this. And all this dead air and everything. We sounded like $1 million.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what's the name of that website again?
A Mysterious World.
We're going to make you the professional question asker today.
I have questions. So, you mentioned that the actual crash site was northwest of Roswell, 40 miles. Was it anywhere near the Oscuro Mountains, those twin peaks in the east side of 54?
Well, to be honest with you, I've never been up there. My dad just pointed it out to me on a map and said,
really?
I remember it being right there.
So, was it near Corona?
No, the one near Corona is a
it's
different
about 20
site
miles
altogether.
Or 30 miles from Corona.
Yeah.
So between Corona and Roswell.
Yes, it's right there in between, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I want to get straight on this website again. Mysterious Places?
Mysteriousworld.com.
And give me an example of some of the things. What's on your front page right now?
Front page is actually a bunch of three-year-old stories. We're about to republish them again after I'm done with this Roswell weekend. Right now we have an article on the Grand Canyon and the ancient mysteries of the Hopi, and also giants of the earth, about European giants.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out because I'm going to be broadcasting from the Grand Canyon in October. They have a paranormal conference up there.
There's a great couple of articles on the Grand Canyon, which you'll find very interesting.
And they have a ghost train, supposedly, or a regular train, but... we did with Dr. Rita Louise across the hall, who's helping us, a psychic. We did the most haunted town in Texas, Jefferson. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't. I'm not familiar with haunted towns.
You need to check that out sometime. Right? Everybody in that town had a story.
Most haunted town in Texas?
Yes.
Jefferson's
in East Texas. Anybody else have a comment or question? Anybody got a sighting they'd like to talk about or anything? Okay. Okay, Jane, I'm going to thank Paul for being on.
Okay.
Paul, we've enjoyed having you on. Okay, is there something you'd like to close with?
Yes. One thing that I'd like to try to tell everybody here that I'd like to work on right now is a new foundation that can help with the remaining witnesses as a kind of a token gesture to them. for them taking all the risk and allowing us to know what their stories are, and call it the Roswell UFO Witness Legacy Foundation. And this is to help those who are in need right now, who have given their stories under great risk, and help us give back to them for what they've given to us.
And how will they find us some information? I guess you'll give it to us and we'll put it on the website. But
okay, I will also have a have some information on my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/Paul Richard Price Scientist. And you can find that out. I'm also an author. I've written a book called The Prophecy Chronicles, Chronicle 1, The Chosen One. It was released on March 30th, and you can buy it on Amazon.
Okay, now, what about The Chosen One? What do you mean? Who chose him?
Okay, well, let's see. Thank you, Jerry. Okay, that's a good thing. It's a story about end times from the perspective of the man who will become the one world ruler as the first in a series. And it deals with not necessarily biblical renditions about that story, but it takes historical fact, melds it with fiction to come up with a story dealing with that.
Okay, he mentioned something. How many people think will be here on January 1st, 2013?
Applaud. It's radio. Okay.
Paul, these people are not ready for the end of the world.
Hey, the way I look at it is, people, if it comes, it comes. Just be prepared for it.
Paul Price is our guest, and we're broadcasting from the Civic Center here in Roswell. So thank you, Paul, for coming on.
Hello, this is Farah Yurduze. Maybe you have questions about love, your job, your health, money and more. With my psychic gifts and my tarot readings, we can reveal the solutions to your deepest mysteries. Please visit me through Jerry Pippin Radio and let's find the answers together.
Click on Farah's banner for the answers to the most personal question. Well, here we are in Roswell, the 60th anniversary, and I just want to introduce this guest, and he can tell you what he's doing. It's pretty ambitious, Brian Tenner, and you've got a theme park, an alien theme park planned for Roswell, is that right?
That's absolutely right, Jerry.
Welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about what's going to be in this theme park.
Well, one of the featured attractions is going to be an alien abduction roller coaster.
And do you have that drawn out in your mind?
I do. I've been working on that idea for the past 2 years. So you could actually get into a car and drive in your roller coaster, self-propelled, of course, through the various parts.
So this would be like bumper cars or
no,
road
no,
cars?
This is a roller coaster. You better strap on because you're going to be going fast.
Okay.
Can you take it?
I just got to get a picture of this.
It's a steel roller coaster. It's going to be indoors.
Is it going to be as good as the one at Six Flags?
Much better.
Okay, I knew he'd say that.
When you get off the roller coaster, you will believe that you were taken on board a UFO.
Will this be an enclosed car or no?
Yeah, the entire ride will be enclosed. And it's going to
have... So you can't hold your hands up when you go over the...
You know what? You'll be so scared you won't want to. You'll be holding on to anyone, even people you don't know, will become your best friend on that ride.
You're right. Okay, so you got that one. What else are you going to have?
Well, there's going to be some other interesting ones. I'm not going to go into all of the details because we have to have some secrets,
yeah, well,
right?
Well, I understand that. Now, you're quite the PR man. I checked you on CNN. There you were one day. Talking about the Zagan theme park.
That's right. I was
you haven't been on all the networks. You get around.
I do. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And so I compliment you on that, and I'm glad you came on our show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to be here. I mean, the point of this park is to for people that want to have a good time and be entertained, and also for the serious aspect of the Roswell incident. And we welcome everybody. If you're a skeptic, if you're a believer, if you just want to have a great time, everyone is welcome.
As long as you buy an admission to the roller coaster, it doesn't make any difference, right?
Yeah, well, that always helps. That always helps. But yeah, it's going to be a great attraction, a great theme park, and I'm not going to stop until it's done. I would like to schedule the opening date of 2012. That's a special year, I think, for everyone.
So when I asked the question a little earlier if the world was going to end at 2012, you don't think so, because obviously you're putting a big investment in.
Well, no. What I think is the world of theme parks, as you know it, is going to end, and the new age of theme parks is going to begin.
See, folks, I told you he's quite the PR guy. How'd you get interested in Roswell and alien theme parks?
I've always been a science fiction buff, always been interested in aliens and Roswell and things like that. And I always said to myself that the city is missing something spectacular. There's the name recognition of Roswell is international, as of course everybody knows. And people come here and they can walk around and see some of the interesting things, but everybody's been thirsting for more. And what I'd like to do is find a way for people to stay longer, give more to the economy, and to have a great time while they're here.
You don't live in Roswell. You live in Texas or something.
No, I don't even live that close. I'm all the way in Florida.
Okay. That's right. I remember your press release now. It came from Florida.
So I was either suffering from heat stroke in Florida, and that's probably what caused the idea, or I just was bored. I'm really not sure, but I do want to make it happen, and we have gotten pretty far.
Have you found a location here yet?
We're still working on that. Yeah. We have a couple of ideas.
So you've got a little time yet.
Yeah, where's your hotel?
Yeah,
and we can start there.
Yeah, and you may, when you do this, how is the city of Roswell? I know you've talked to them, or at least some people.
Yeah, I've worked with the city planner, Zach Montgomery, and we've been working very hard. We've got an appropriation from the state of New Mexico. The legislature approved $245,000 for the initial planning of the park. Of course, there's a lot more to go.
You've done pretty good for a Florida boy. You got these New Mexico guys shelling out a little money. That's good.
Yeah, well, so far, right?
That's good. That's better than I've been able to do. No, I'm teasing. when we talk about alien theme parks and plans like that, and you said you've always been interested in this and science fiction, have you had some sort of contact with ETs?
Well, interestingly enough,
I'm not trying to paint you into a corner here.
Oh, no, you're not at all. No, I mean, really, interestingly enough, the theme park kind of came in the way of a vision. I did imagine a place and some rides.
See, I knew there was
something
behind this.
Well, I think all dreams start out as a vision somewhere. Okay. So I think there was definitely some inspiration. And really, and this is going to sound crazy. Of course, everything that I say usually does, but...
not too crazy. You got the New Mexico legislature $245,000.
What I'd hope for one day is that the truth will be revealed, and there will, whether you believe in Roswell or not, there is going to be a contact, a date when the vast majority of the population will actually make that first contact. And I would like that place to be in Roswell, and I think that it will be.
Well, you know, they got a spaceport not too far from here already.
Yeah, exactly.
And they spent a lot of money over there, and you're going to get them land in Roswell. They're going to be upset with you. Let's talk a little bit more about what we can realistically look for this theme park to have when it opens. You're going to have this ride, which sounds fun.
That is one of the things, and also a large aspect of the park is going to be devoted to the scientific exploration of life outside of Earth. So there is going to be a lot.
So you're
going to
have a little scientific,
like a SETI type, kind of
like
center.
Kind of like my show, a little social redeeming value.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of our audience members wants to know if you've been abducted.
Have I? No, I have not. You're not planning on something later, are you?
No. Okay. Thanks very much, Brian.
Thank you, Jerry. Take care.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk to you about a vacation idea for this summer, or really any time, that is unique, different, and affordable. I'm talking about a tour of the Grand Canyon in a van
with Marvelous Marv, the world-famous tour guide. Marvelous Marv has lived in the Grand Canyon area for well over two decades, and he will show you things that no other tour guide will, and all the while fill you in on the history and the mystery of the giant canyon itself. When you go on a tour with Marv, you get to see the best viewpoints and the best exhibits. He knows this canyon. He knows this area of Arizona. Now on this page, there's a banner you can click on, and it will take you to Marv's website, where you can get all the answers about Marv and his Grand Canyon tour. This is a vacation you will treasure forever. Check it out, won't you? Marvelous Marv's Grand Canyon Tours. This is Jerry Pippin, and we are here in Roswell, 60th anniversary, Don Ray Walton. I met you in Eureka, and we have you on our website, and you've had some strange experiences, and a lot of people would go over there and hear those. You finally got a book deal, though.
That's correct, yes.
Welcome to the show. By the way, he's a Texas boy. I guess you haven't figured this out. He's got a hat on, folks, and you see the picture. Tell us a little bit about what's been happening since we saw you.
Well, I got a contract signed with Fate Magazine to publish my first book called The Coming Human Aliens, Fact or Fiction. My cousin Travis Walton was abducted, and he made a movie on it. I've had a lot of people asking me a lot of questions about a lot of things about the end of the world.
We got on that subject. What do you think of the end of the world?
Well, I think it's not going to be an end of the world as people would say it. I'd say the only way the end of the world would come is if we ever blew the hell out of the planet with our nuclear weapons.
We may end it.
Yeah, we're the only ones who could end the world, actually. I think the aliens would start a new beginning, and that would be the end of the world as we know it. But a new beginning, as in contact of extraterrestrials.
What kind of stuff are you putting in your book? What's it going to be about? When I get that book, what will I be reading about?
Well, you'll be reading a lot about the Roswell crash, about how it explains why the Roswell crash. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about the Roswell crash and the aliens crashed here and everything, but what you don't really understand is what caused the crash in the first place. The crash was not caused by human intervention. It was caused by alien intervention. In other words, another craft of its kind shot that craft down because they were coming here to warn us. And you'll find those answers in my book.
So you're saying that the good guys got shot down?
More or less, yes.
Now, there has been a lot of credence going on to this alien crash scenario or a shoot down scenario. In fact, we have a DVD over here on our table by David Sarita, who's well known, and it's from here to Andromeda, and he that's one of his things in that DVD is he has some evidence that it was an alien shoot down or perhaps a U.S. Air Force shoot down or Army Air Force, but you think it was alien on alien battle.
Well, see, actually, at the time, we were in a propeller stage in 1947.
Yeah.
So we didn't have anything capable of shooting down a craft of that proportion.
Oh, David has a guy on that says they just got lucky.
No, I don't think machine guns could
have
shot
down. Why do you base this statement you made? Why do you say that?
Well, I believe they were coming here to warn us about situation because, you see, there's some aliens up there that are good aliens. There's some aliens up there that are bad aliens. Well, they're bad to a point, but you got to understand that if we got into space with our nuclear capabilities and our weapons and things, that we'd be a threat and a danger to them. So I don't believe they want us on that out there in that area. See, there are three stages to the human race. The first is the cave dwellers, which is primitive man, and then there's the human part, which is when they sent the Avatar Christ to you to teach you the ways of humanity to respect life instead of destroy it. And then there's the third stage, which is human aliens, because you're in space now. You got space shuttle, you got probes on Mars, you got probes outside your solar system. So you're not from those worlds. You got a probe on Mars. I mean, you'd be classified as alien to that world as far as full classification by the aliens themselves, so you'd be called human aliens, third
now,
stage.
We got a tight time schedule here. Last time you were on the show, you sang a song for us.
Yes, I did.
You're going to do something for us this time?
Yeah, I'll do the same one for you, but I'll do it with the music this time.
Oh, you get the music?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll put.
Okay, here's his novelty song. You don't mind me calling it a novelty song, do you?
No, not really.
Okay. And
it's called the Alien Song, and it's a message to mankind.
Okay.
Call Cannibal
Wake Up. I hate to rush you along here, but we're in.
All right.
We can try. You know, everybody came to Roswell this year, and that's great. But it means that we have to cut everybody's time down to get to everybody on the air. And by the way, we'll be here every day for the rest of the week, right on through Sunday. You need to tune that thing up, or you?
Nah, I think you should be there.
Okay. Right. Okay. Now it's the Alien Song by Don Ray Walton, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a reback of the, you know, the "This Land Is Your Land" song, but I think you'll get a kick out of it. Goes. This land is your land. This land ain't my land. 'Cause I'm an alien from another planet. I fly above you in a super spaceship. This land was made for you, not me. We teach your pigeons to crap upon you. We show them how to hit your cars. And while you're cursing at that car wash, never know that crap's from Mars. This land is your land. This land ain't my land. 'Cause I'm an alien from another planet. I fly above you in a super spacecraft. This land was made for you, not me. We change your weather, we make it rotten, so all you humans wrap up in cotton. You freeze your butts off and blame your God. This land was made for you, not me. So we pretended that we was God. Burned 10 commandments that Moses saw with a laser beam. He made religion. Man, what a pigeon. This land was made for you, not me. We taught you humans how to make a bomb. And with religion, them wars were on. And if you wipe your own butts out, you're one less problem for us to worry about. This land was made for you, not me. This land was made for you, not me.
Okay, Don, the Alien Song. This is Jerry Pippin. Don't go away.
Tennessee Vermont. The year was 1970 when Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan released their first big single hit, Tennessee Birdwalk. For the first time in the history of music, this 45 RPM single becomes available to the public in the form of a mouse pad. Made of high-quality quarter-inch rubber, this fabric-covered 8-inch mouse pad delivers your mouse a very smooth ride. For only $9.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling, your mouse pad will be rushed via USPS first-class mail. Simply click on the happy little mice and be directed to our ordering page. Hurry while this limited time offer lasts.
That's Tennessee Birdwalk. That's Tennessee Birdwalk.